Our theme for this new year is enjoying God. And I believe it's helpful in our pursuit of enjoying God to study the thoughts of early Christian thinkers. Of course, the New Testament is the compilation of the writings of those who lived in Jesus' day, but there were other early Christian thinkers that are well worth benefiting from, and one of these early Christian thinkers was Irenaeus, and he's a favorite of mine. Irenaeus was a Greek from Smyrna in Anatolia, which is now Izmir, Turkey. He was born during the first half of the second century, which placed him just a couple of generations after the first disciples of Jesus. During the reign of Marcus Aurelius, the Roman governor, Irenaeus became the bishop of the Church of Lyon in what is now France. The most famous of his writings is commonly known as Against Heresies. There was a problem facing the early church. It was called Gnosticism. Various Gnostic groups had come to the Lyon region and were spreading their views in churches, using biblical verses out of context to support their beliefs. They were called Gnostic Christians because they believed in Christ. But what they believed about Christ was very different from what the Bible says. Gnostic, from the Greek word gnostikos, having knowledge. Gnostics claimed that they had secret wisdom passed on to them from Jesus himself that only they knew. They believed there is a perfect, supreme being, but also many lesser supernatural beings called eons. Some eons were good, some were bad. One of those eons, known as the Demiurge, went bad and created the material world, and in doing so trapped our immortal spirits in human bodies. Our human bodies, then, as part of the material world, are evil. And salvation to the Gnostic was all about escaping the trappings of the human body through secret mystical knowledge. That secret wisdom would only come through a special being who was sent for that purpose. Gnostics believed that Jesus was one such being. Supposedly, Jesus brought secret wisdom to his disciples, but that was, of course, not recorded in the New Testament because it was, well, secret. There were different branches of Gnosticism. Some Gnostics taught that since the body, with all its desires and passions, was evil, you should deny and control those passions. Other Gnostics believed that since the body was evil, what you did in the body was meaningless, so they became libertines, engaging in all sorts of sensual indulgence. They claimed to be the real disciples of Jesus, but what did they believe about him? Gnostics denied that Jesus was ever born or truly human, because a human body, as part of an evil creation, was itself evil. So Jesus couldn't have had a human body, he just seemed to have one. They denied the birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and they were infiltrating churches and leading others astray. So for Irenaeus, the question was, what to do about people professing to be Christian but having views contrary to Scripture? Irenaeus, as a leader in the church, felt called to address it. He argued that true gnosis, true knowledge, is in fact knowledge of the true Christ, who redeems human beings rather than helping them escape from bodily existence. Irenaeus said, and this is a good thing to remember about any idea or theme that circulates among believers, error never shows itself in its naked reality in order not to be discovered. On the contrary, it dresses elegantly so that the unwary may be led to believe that it is more truthful than truth itself. What did Irenaeus say to counter the Gnostic beliefs about the creation of the world being evil? Well, you read the story of Christianity by Justo L. Gonzalez. Irenaeus' view is that God is above all a shepherd. God is a loving being who created the world and humankind, not out of necessity or by mistake, as the Gnostics claimed, but out of a desire to have a creation to love and to lead like a shepherd loves and leads his flock. From this perspective, the entirety of history appears as the process whereby the divine shepherd leads his creation to its final goal. Irenaeus repeatedly insists that God began the world and has been overseeing it ever since his creative act. The crown of creation is the human being, and everything that has happened in history is part of God's plan for mankind. From the beginning, humanity was made as a free and therefore responsible being. That freedom was such that it allowed humanity to become increasingly conformed to the divine will and nature, and thus to enjoy an ever-growing communion with our Creator. God's purpose was that human beings would grow in communion with the divine and make us more like the divine, eventually even surpassing the angels. From the very beginning, the union of the human with the divine was the goal of history. The essence of this plan is a maturing process Irenaeus called divinization. He taught that humanity was created immature, and God intended his creatures to take a long time to grow into or assume the divine likeness. But the fall of mankind in the garden disrupted this process. As Irenaeus wrote, "Communion with God is life and light, and the enjoyment of all the benefits which he has in store. But on as many as, according to their own choice, depart from God, he inflicts that separation from himself which they have chosen of their own accord. But separation from God is death, and separation from light is darkness. And separation from God consists in the loss of all the benefits which he has in store." Unquote. So sin brought separation from God, but even that did not catch God by surprise. He had a plan all along. Everything that has happened since the fall has been planned by God to help humanity overcome this initial mishap and achieve spiritual maturity. Salvation, then, consists in being restored to fellowship with God and getting back to the process of growing both in communion with God and conforming to the divine nature of God. According to Irenaeus, the world has been intentionally designed by God as a difficult place, where we are forced to make moral decisions, as only in this way can we mature as moral agents. And according to Irenaeus, the high point of salvation history was the coming of Jesus, and our salvation coming about through the incarnation of God as a man. God becoming man makes possible man becoming like God. In his words, Jesus Christ, in his infinite love, has become what we are in order that he may make us entirely what he is. He also put it this way, "He who was the Son of God became the Son of Man, that man might become the Son of God." Irenaeus saw Christ as a new Adam who undoes the evil and reversed all the wrongs done by the first Adam. Of the first Adam, Irenaeus wrote, "For as it was not possible for the man who had once for all been conquered and who had been destroyed through disobedience could reform himself and obtain the prize of victory, and as it was also impossible that he could attain to salvation who had fallen under the power of sin, the Son effected both these things, being the Word of God, descended from the Father, becoming incarnate, stooping low even to death, and consummating the arranged plan for our salvation." Unquote. He also wrote, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive, and to be alive consists in beholding God. He points out how death plays a valuable role in our maturity, our divinization. Irenaeus likens facing death to the big fish that swallowed Jonah. It was only in the depths of the whale's belly that Jonah could turn to God and act according to the divine will. Similarly, death and suffering appear as evils, but without them, we could never come to know God. He said the business of the Christian is nothing else but to be ever preparing for death. The church likewise plays an essential role. He said, one should not seek among others the truth that can be easily gotten from the church. For in her, as in a rich treasury, the apostles have placed all that pertains to truth so that everyone can drink of this beverage of life. She is the door of life. And he wrote, for where the church is, there is the Spirit of God. And where the Spirit of God is, there is the church and all grace. The church has been placed as a paradise in the world. He taught truth rested not in any secret knowledge, but with the clear preaching of the church. It's the church that has the testimony of the prophets and apostles and all their disciples. He said, we've learned from none others the plan of our salvation than from those through whom the gospel has come down to us, which they did at one time proclaim in public, and at a later period, by the will of God, handed down to us in the scriptures to be the ground and pillar of our faith. Unquote. So then, he declared that through the church, with the assistance of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, humans are to receive instructions and growth, always with a view to an increasingly close communion with God. Finally, Irenaeus has some fine advice for us. He wrote, if then you are God's workmanship, await the hand of your Maker, which creates everything in due time. Offer to him your heart in a soft and tractable state, lest, by becoming hardened, you lose the impressions of his fingers. His hand fashioned your substance. He will cover you over within and without with pure gold and silver, and he will adorn you to such a degree that even the king himself shall have pleasure in your beauty. And as to as many as continue in their love towards God, does he grant communion with him? Unquote.
Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts, thou fount of life, thou light of men, from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to thee again. Thy truth unchanged hath ever stood. Thou savest those that on thee call. To them that seek thee thou art good. To them that find thee all in all. We taste thee, O thou living bread, and long to feast upon thee still. We drink of thee, the fountain head, and thirst our souls from thee to fill. Our restless spirits yearn for thee, where'er our changeful lot is cast. Glad when thy gracious smile we see, blessed when our faith can hold thee fast. O Jesus, ever stay. Make all our moments calm and bright. Chase the dark night of sin away. Shed o'er the world thy hope.